Shine in the darkness, O God, and shine in our hearts, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may grow in the knowledge of your glory, proclaiming Jesus Christ and not ourselves, until his life is made visible, even in us. Amen. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel as Mark recorded it, chapter 2. One Sabbath, he, meaning Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any of but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Last week, we talked about the fourth of the Ten Commandments, God's commandment to keep the Sabbath. After working for 6 days, God rested on the seventh day, and God commanded that we do the same. Now, to someone immersed in the market economy, the idea of taking a perfectly good workday and spending it worshiping and resting seems like a prodigal extravagance. But God commands that we do it. You see, God is not part of the market economy. The market does not constrain God's activity. God has enough. God does not need to be anxious, and God cannot be compelled to do more. Given those factors, it makes sense for God to take a Sabbath. I mean, who has a right to object, right? But we, on the other hand, we live in a market world, don't we? We live in a world where people expect things from us. Our bosses, our spouses, our kids, and those demands on us are ever increasing. Once upon a time, if you couldn't reach someone, you left a message, and you waited. Now, with cell phones and computers and multiple networks of instant messaging, the expectation is that everyone will be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. At the same time, our screens always being on means that we're not really present with the people we're with in the real physical world. We would say we're available, but we're not, really. We're always multitasking, all over the place. We're never really focused on one thing or one person. This is not healthy. Actual productivity, meaning things getting done, is staying about the same, as stress and anxiety levels are through the roof. Does anybody out there know what I'm talking about? We have, as Barbara Brown Taylor writes, made an idol out of exhaustion. The only time we know we've done enough is when we're running on empty, and when the ones we love most are the ones we see least. The idol of exhaustion has a sidekick, the idol of busyness. If we're not exhausted yet, we feel like we're always supposed to be busy, always working ourselves toward exhaustion. If for some reason we're not busy, we worry that we have to justify our not busyness. In that kind of world, taking time just to worship God and to rest seems kind of self-centered, doesn't it? It seems like we're wanting me time. Me, me, me. And that's selfish and makes us a bad person, according to the idols of exhaustion and busyness. Maybe that's part of why God commands us to observe Sabbath, so that good people who work too hard, the Marthas of the world, will take a rest. Do you remember what Jesus said to his beloved friend Martha when she complained at him about doing too much and being totally overwhelmed? I imagine that he smiled and he gave her a hug and he told her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Martha needed to calm her anxiety, or let Jesus help her calm her anxiety before anything else good was going to happen. All the ordinary, totally mundane things that she was worried about, things like the bread and the hummus and the wine and the water and the seats for all the guests, had totally driven from her mind the fact that the Son of God was sitting on her couch in her living room. Martha needed to take a cue from her sister Mary and sit down and fully appreciate that fact. Then she could deal with all those ordinary details. Those details, yes, needed to be taken care of, but they were ultimately not as important as Jesus. Jesus himself took Sabbath time. He went into the mountains and he prayed to the point that even his disciples couldn't find him. He ate, he drank, he slept. And never once was Jesus hurried from place to place, controlled by a busy schedule. We need to follow Christ's example. We need to take time to rest, all of us, and to appreciate God, to be still, and to know that God is God. Science is starting to catch up with scriptural revelation in this area, which is kind of like when you watch your kids figure out for themselves something about the world that you told them already. You know, when I wear sunscreen, I don't get burned. Wow. The tests were a lot easier in the class where I did all my homework. I wonder why they don't tell you that beforehand. Studies presented by the American Psychological Association, the U.S. National Institute on Aging, and others have found that taking Sabbath time is associated with significantly longer lifespans and better mental and physical health for your entire life. God knew that thousands of years ago, which is why the Sabbath made it into the manufacturer's instructions for human beings. At no point in the Bible is the Sabbath presented as a suggestion or a good idea. It's a commandment, and it made God's top 10 list. So, in a world where everyone around us seems to be frantically worshiping that idol of exhaustion, alongside its demonic sidekick busyness, How do we obey God's command to keep the Sabbath? I don't have all the answers on this. Those of you close to me have been listening to this sermon with some concern, I'm sure. You all know that this is something with which I personally struggle, as my wife sits there and smiles. I don't have all the answers, but I have some of them. In the history of the world, I've never heard of anyone accidentally keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath requires being intentional about it. It requires living in a different rhythm from the dangerous nonstop pulse of the world around us. It requires choosing Sabbath again and again, rather than slipping into the nonstop work of the world around us. Keeping the Sabbath does not have to be precisely Saturday midnight to Sunday midnight. Jews and Seventh-day Adventists keep the Sabbath on Saturday. Those of us who work on Sunday can keep the Sabbath on other days or at other times. Keeping the Sabbath requires putting work aside. Not just not doing it, but really putting it aside. Some things may not get done. You don't get much benefit if you sit there obsessing about work all day and just not doing it. If anything, that will make things worse. Although if that's where you are, by all means start there. Every journey has to start somewhere. But work at putting it aside. Keeping the Sabbath has to be more than thou shalt nots. The old blue laws that kept businesses closed on Sundays were not enough to create Sabbath. Sabbath has to be something positive. Time spent with family, including your church family. Time spent doing something that you love. Keeping the Sabbath puts the rest of your week in perspective. We may work to provide necessities for our lives, but we do not live to work. In order to do that, Sabbath has to happen on a regular basis. There's a reason that God's command is every week, every 7 days. If we let the idol of busyness work, she'll keep us from ever getting around to taking a Sabbath, won't she? Taking the Sabbath, even when we don't think we can afford the time, requires intentionality and requires getting past that idol of busyness, which, of course, is part of the point. Jesus said to beware of false prophets and that we would know false prophets from real ones by their fruits. How much more so will we know the difference between idols and God? The societal ideals of busyness and exhaustion are false idols. Their fruits are burnout, broken relationships, and ultimately the destruction of the person. This is a path of death. Jesus came down here to conquer death, but it makes that much more difficult when we choose death again and again. How much different is God? God commands us to keep the Sabbath, which was made for us. God commands us to take time to enjoy God and to enjoy God's creation, including each other. This is the path of life. Personally, I'm taking the next 2 Sundays as vacation time, and I'm going to try to hit the reset button on this whole Sabbath thing. My family and I are going out of town for part of that time, and I've arranged pastoral care coverage in case there's an emergency, but I'm going to try to do a better job about keeping the Sabbath for me and for those I love and for God. I urge you, take a look at your life and assess Do you need to hit the reset button on Sabbath? I believe that the majority of Americans do. Take a look at where you are and how you're spending your time and your energy. God commands that all of us keep the Sabbath. And God set examples, both the Father at creation and Jesus in his ministry. Thanks be to God. Amen.